Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. When you guys are listening to this on Sunday, everything is calm and normal in my life, but I'm recording this on Monday evening, which is a weird time for me to be recording. Nothing is calm. Everything is crazy right now. So first of all, I want to thank, it looks like we already got almost 40 people in the live chat. We're doing this live on YouTube. So if you're hearing the audio version on Sunday, this was done live on Monday. I have a bunch of stuff just to kind of fill you guys in on why we're doing it live, which I think is going to turn out to be probably even better than what I had planned for this week. But yeah, so this week, the high school that I teach at, the girls' basketball team is like on the road to a state championship. They just last week won their regional championship. They're 26-0. And this Tuesday, they're going to do to play in their quarterfinal game. And because one of the classes I teach is broadcast journalism, those students have to go to all those games and film them, which I have to go supervise them. And it occurred to me at 3 o'clock today, I'm like, oh, wait. That game's Tuesday, so we can't do the follow-up on Tuesday. So we'll move the follow-up to Wednesday. But if they win, then they also play Thursday. And then Friday, I've got to take my kid 3 hours away to a doctor's appointment. It was like, oh, so we're recording tonight. That's what's going to happen next. We're going to record tonight. So that's how this came about. And what we're going to be talking about today is most of you guys know this, I'm sure. Some of you guys that only listen to the audio and don't do a lot of social media might not know. But just this past weekend, I think it was Friday, the state finally released the 43-second video that Libby shot on her phone, the one where we got the short clip where we've all been seeing for 7 years of Bridge Guy walking around, and we heard the creepy audio of guys down the hill. They've now released the full 43-second video, and everybody has been, myself included, has been digging into this video and trying to pick it apart. I'm doing the same, but kind of doing it from a different perspective. What I've noticed from any conversations on social media has been that there's some severe confirmation bias going on here. So what everyone's trying to pick apart is what they hear, who's saying what. So you've got two camps. You've got the Richard Allen is innocent camp. And for those people, they hear one set of things, they see a certain set of things, everything kind of fits that narrative. Then you have the folks who think that Richard Allen is guilty, and they hear something completely different. You know, they hear a gun racking, they hear Libby saying there's a gun, they're hearing things. And then as far as like looking at Bridge Guy, you've got folks that are looking at the short little video we see in the couple little instances where we see Bridge Guy walking across the bridge. Richard Allen is innocent camp is saying, well, that guy's clearly 7 feet tall. And then the Richard Allen is guilty camp says that's clearly a short person. That's definitely Richard Allen. I've even heard people say that they see a gun in this tiny little frame, way so far away that it's impossible to see anything. So for me, as you guys know, I've been on the fence for a long time about this case. I still don't know. I'm very uncomfortable with the conviction of Richard Allen. But I'm not so far as to say that I think that he's innocent. I really just don't know. But I'm looking at this from a different perspective. What I'm trying to do is what we always do, which is to really study victimology in order to develop a profile, to have a better understanding of a crime scene. We want to know what the victims were doing, thinking, how they were acting leading up to their murder. And this is a rare opportunity where we actually get video of the two victims, just as far as we know, moments before tragically they were killed. And it's very sad. It's hard to watch. It's hard to listen to. But as part of trying to understand what happened to them, I think that we really need to break this down. So I'm looking at it from a psychological perspective. What kind of behaviors are we seeing? And so in the very quick amount of time when I put this thing together, I thought, who could I bring on that, one, has not already really weighed in on this case and is not arguing about it anywhere, and two, has a background in forensic psychology? And that landed me on our dear friend, one of the hosts of the LA Not So Confidential podcast, the one and only Dr. Shiloh. Dr. Shiloh, thank you for being here, especially on such short notice.
How many people did you go through before you found someone that was like, I can do it?
Zero. Right? Well, that's not true. That's not true. This is how my afternoon went. When I figured out the scheduling problem and I was like, I'm just going to have to do it live. I don't have time to write what I was going to write. We're just going to do it live. And then I text Zach and Janet and I was like, hey guys, if either of you are available, so I'm not just yammering to myself, I'm going to do a live at 7.
Nice.
3 minutes later, I thought, oh, Shiloh, what about Shiloh? Shiloh could actually like weigh in on this. And then I text you, you said yes. I told them never mind. And so
done deal.
Yeah. You were first
happy
pick.
To be here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very interesting. I just a question right off the bat was, do you have any idea or did they say why they released the video?
I don't know if they did say it. It got released by a website that's kind of pro Richard Allen's innocence.
Okay.
I don't know. So I don't know if they filed a FOIA request and they just released it. There's probably people out there that do know. I haven't dug into it that much to see like where it came from. But and am I correct? I haven't seen anywhere. Have you done a whole lot of digging into this case and have an opinion one way or the other on it?
No, I think, you know, opinion wise, I fall very, very similar to you and what you said. You know, the most involvement, I mean, that's kind of too extreme of a word that we've had with this, is obviously getting to know Kelsey and her family pretty right. well at events. You know, Kelsey, someone I've stayed in touch with, that I've even had her be a special guest speaker for a peer support event at my police department. So, you know, obviously we have a close friendship in terms of like being able to share some of those moments. As far as Scott and I on the podcast, probably a couple of months ago, we did a topic in looking at the ethics of psychology and kind of like digital ethics. Like, are psychologists allowed to Google their clients? What do you have to be careful of in terms of like, maybe your clients are Googling you? Like, what do you know about each other? And then how does that come into the room? And we certainly touched on the correctional psychologist that testified in this case. Mm-hmm. We kept it very narrowly focused to what she testified to, that her behaviors and interests were, that really, you know, were something that we questioned in the terms of ethics. But other than that, that's really the only thing that we have covered with the Delphi case.
Well, I'm glad, because that's what I was really hoping for, is that we don't have somebody that already has a strong opinion about the case, because like I said, I don't. I find it right. hard, and not to throw stones at anyone, because everybody's got, you know, people are much more involved in it than I am, but I find it hard to understand how people can have a real strong opinion about it, because none of us actually have seen the evidence yet. You know, we've right. all, you know, you can either get your evidence from people from the media that feel one way, or get it from people from the media that feel another way. And there's no, like, we haven't had the opportunity to actually like look into it. There's certainly some things with the investigation, the trial, that I don't like, but that, you know, as sure. I've said on the podcast, that doesn't, like, both things can be true. They could have really screwed up royally and Richard Allen could still be guilty, or he could be innocent. But what I want to do here is, I'm going to go ahead here in just a minute. I'm going to play the original video, the one that was released with the original audio, just for some, because I know there's probably some people listening that have not even heard this. So if you're listening on audio, you'll hear this. And also on Sunday, we'll republish the YouTube video so people can watch it as well. Because there are a few spots in there where we hear voices. And then later I'll play the enhanced version where I spent several hours on Saturday picking out just the parts where we hear a voice, a whisper, anything, and amplifying that and trying to clean it up as best we can. And what I found is that I was able to at least determine when someone was talking, but you can't always figure out what exactly they're saying. And some of that is very technical reasons. I found when we hear the guys down the hill, when I first heard the original audio that I'm going to play here in a minute, when I first heard it and I heard guys down the hill, I was pissed. I was like, why would they release to us a version of this when they were asking for someone who knew him that was so processed and garbled when the original version is pretty clear? And I figured it out when I was working with all of my audio software to try to clean it up, that the guy's part, you can clean out the background noise pretty well and amplify it. But the down the hill part, the frequencies that are in his voice match so closely to the frequencies of like the gravel and the leaf sounds and all that, that you can't remove one. You can't remove the background noise without losing part of the voice. And so I see why that was so garbled. Got it. But I'm going to play this. What you're going to hear I'm just going to tee it up for you guys listening to this is there's a few things you're going to hear. Within the first few seconds, if you listen very closely, you're going to hear a whisper. People have said they know what's being said there. I do not. It's one of those situations where if somebody says to me, like, she's saying, is he still behind me? Or what does he want? Or what then?
The suggestibility.
Yeah. Like if they say that to me, then I hear it. But when I was just like closing my eyes and listening to it on my headphones and cleaning up the audio and stuff, I can't make out what's being said. What I do think I determined is originally I thought that was Libby whispering something because she's the one holding the phone. Later, after really reviewing it, I think that it was actually Abby doing a loud whisper. Like she was still maybe 10, 15 feet away from Libby. And in the enhanced video, which I'll play after that, you can see I zoomed in on her face and you can see Abby's lips moving when that whisper's coming. And that right there is one of the behaviors I want to talk about, because that tells us something, right? If she's walking and there's a man behind her and she's loud whispering, she wants Libby to hear her, but not the man behind her. That tells us something. That's some of the stuff that I want to have Dr. Shiloh break down. A few seconds after that, there's a bunch of crunching. Libby is moving with the phone. And then we hear another voice, a sound, a voice. I don't know whose it is. I assume it's Abby's. I have no idea what it is. In the enhanced version, I amplified it just so you hear when it is. I have no idea what's being said there. Then there's a controversial part. So then you hear Libby start to say, there's no path here, so we have to go down. And some people, the state claimed that in that second part, what she says is, that be a gun. We'll talk about that, about what that sounds like and your thoughts on it. And then and she kind of trails off when she says that part. And then she speaks louder, more clearly to Abby. I think people are assuming what direction she's facing based on the way her feet are pointed. We don't know. She could be turned the other way. But then she kind of repeats it again and says, there's no path here, so we have to go down here. Again, there's a behavior there that I want to talk about is, you know, bridge guy hasn't gotten there yet, but it seems like they're already planning to go down the hill. So that's interesting to me. And then we hear the guys, and there's something right after guys. It's either huh or ha or hi or something. It's guys, huh? Or guys, hi. And then down the hill. There's another behavior those of you that are watching the video can assess for yourself too, and we'll talk about, is we see Abby's feet in that moment when he says down the hill. Her feet are already off the path, pointed down that little walking trail. And the second he says down the hill, she immediately starts walking. There's no delay there. There also is, and you guys can listen for it, between, like right after he says guys, some people say they hear a gun racking in that point. I've listened to it a million different times. Personally, I don't think so, but we'll see. So without me yapping anymore, I'm going to go ahead and play the original video without any processing done to it. For those listening on audio, you'll be able to hear it. And so we'll kind of walk through it and we'll kind of break it down. Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
See, this is the path that we are down. There's no path going there, so we have to go down here.
Okay, and that's it. That's the entire thing. I will rewind it to that little spot where people say they think they hear a gun. Right after guys, there's a little click.
Hi.
Right there. And Dr. Shiloh, based on your face, I feel like you probably think the same thing I do about the gun click. What are your thoughts about that? As someone who works with law enforcement.
I've racked a lot of guns in my life.
Yeah.
And do quite a bit of firearms training still. I can't say that it's not like kind of a little bit of a metal sound. So that could be it coming out of a pant pocket, hitting a rivet on, you know, pants or a ring or something like that in the hand. But I don't think it's a rack. It didn't sound like a rack.
No. And I analyzed them. I actually took one of my firearms in here and like racked it in the microphone, because what I was trying to do is like visually look at sound waves. And what I came up with is the only thing it could possibly be would be like a hammer cocking, because there's only two clicks. It's click, click, real quick. And I think it might just be a stick snapping or something. But even if it is metallic, there's like a click, click, and that could be like a hammer cocking. But the gun, at least the gun that Richard Allen have, I believe, didn't have a hammer on it.
Mm.
But sliding, racking it, there's like six clicks. There's
sure.
So many different mechanisms. That's click, 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 click. You know, if you slow it down and look at the sound wave. So it's definitely not that. I'm certain that it's not that. But yeah, as somebody in the chat said, it could be a twig breaking. Also, visually, somebody in here had said, Jennifer said that, and a lot of people have thought this, that there might be another person there behind Libby off camera when they're talking about her whispering. I don't think so. My first thought was when I first heard it, when I was like the original, and I just watched it two or three times on my phone, sent it to Janet and Zach, and we talked about it. I thought, well, she's whispering, because I thought Libby was whispering. And I'm like, well, who's she whispering to? But you can, the way the shadows are set in the video, I'll put it back up without sound, but like the shadows are long because of the time of day. See, there's, and if you go through it, I'm not going to go through it frame by frame, but if someone else was standing there, she swings around enough, you would see their shadow. I just don't think that there's another person standing there. Before we get into kind of the breakdown of it, I'm going to play the one where I enhance the audio. And on this one, so you guys, like I said, this is pretty good at showing you when someone's talking. It does clean up really well, especially the kind of the controversial part about whether she said that be a gun. But really, it lets you know when people are talking. And again, I zoom in on, so you're going to hear it in normal speed, then slow motion, then normal speed again, zoomed in on Abby's face when that first whisper happens. And this is how, at least in my opinion, I determined that voice, that whisper, is actually Abby whispering to Libby. Here it is.
See, this is the path that you're down.
There's no path going there, so we have to go down here.
Guys?
She immediately starts going down the hill. So I guess we'll kind of, well, I guess real quick, well, before we start doing the breakdown, I want to go over, listen again to that one spot where people think she says that'd be a gun, if I can find it.
That'd be a gun?
There it is right there.
See, this is the path. That'd be a gun.
What do you hear there?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, now that that has been fed, you can make it sound like that. But I don't know. It really does sound like it's under her breath rather than the projection that she has sort of before and after that. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I hear. Let me pull that down. Let me put the original one up because I amplified them both and I used different filters on both of them. So it changed the voice. But it does. She does trail off in the other part or where she says, what I hear is that we go down.
This is the there's no path going there, so we have to go down here.
So I tried to hear, and I actually, again, trying to visually look at the sound waves, try to determine if it could be gun, and I did, you know, I said just the word gun in a bunch of different tones of voice over and over again, and just the word down over and over again. And they make pretty distinct, different sound waves. Down, even though they're both like one syllable, that down, you know, it kind of, it sweeps in the sound waves. And it just, there was no way I was able to make the word gun look like that. And also, to me, it doesn't, this is what I heard. People said, oh, it's just a dialect thing. It's just people that don't understand regional dialect and teenagers. Well, I would maintain I live an hour and 45 minutes away from there. I have three teenagers and I work with 91 teenagers.
Yeah, you're pretty well versed.
Yeah. And that be a gun is not something that I would expect. It's a weird thing to say, but it's more than that. People can argue that all they want. To me, it's more the behavior afterwards. If she had just seen a gun, she's a, you know, they're teenage, young teenage girls. And they just look up in the middle of a sentence and she sees that this person behind them has a gun. I don't think we hear that be a gun. And then, so this is the path, you know,
sure.
You know, I mean, like I would expect more of a reaction to that. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think we go down is the continuation of that sentence she's already started.
Right.
Right. Like there's a little pause in between there because she's probably paying very close attention to what's going on, but then sort of finishing her sentence. So, yeah, I mean, that be a gun just sounds, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, Libby, if that's how she talks or how she would have talked in that sort of choppy dialect. But yeah, just doesn't make sense from that point.
Yeah. And then so then I try to look at it from different perspectives, too. If she is indeed saying that we go down, the way she kind of trails off a little bit, you know, to me, I'm trying to figure out like what's their state of mind, what's going on. Because ultimately what I'm trying to figure out is what is their relationship or connection to this man that's following them? You know, how does she know that they need to go down there? Why is she trailing off? Is it because as soon as I heard it, I think of, you know, I'm nervous and awkward. I think of when I, you know, if I'm in front of a group of people and I start to say something and I realize halfway through my sentence that nobody's listening. And I just kind of trail off.
Or it doesn't make sense or...
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. And we see Abby like runs past her right then. Like she runs off the edge of the bridge and right, you know, right in between there, she kind of runs past her. So do you have any feelings about or thoughts about that whole idea. If she's saying this is the path that we go down, and it's trailing off like that.
I actually have a lot of thoughts and feelings about it. The way that I came to look at this was from, you know, the decade or so that I worked with sex offenders, and particularly a slice of that population that was pretty predatory on adolescents and kids, and studying the ways in which, you know, of course you have like the long-term grooming situations, but then you have the opportunistic situations where there is still some rapport, if you will, that needs to be made with the victim. And, you know, I think that could have very easily been going on here, because it's the classic scenario, you know, all the stranger danger stuff that we were taught in the 80s of like the guy that pulls over and asks you to help him find his puppy, right? There's got to be some sort of entrance into the conversation, some sort of way that you insert yourself and start engaging with this kid or kids. So let's say that it is just out on the trail that day. What could you engage some kids with to start like asking and kind of asking for their help? And this is what these types of child predators do. So, you know, the old adage is like, no grown man needs any help or assistance from a child,
right?
Especially, you know, a girl, a teenage girl, an adolescent girl, they can figure out on their own. So that's like red flag number one. But I could see something, you know, before this point that we have in this video of like, hey guys, do you come on this trail a lot? You know, can you show me a way down to the ravine? What's on the other side of the bridge? And then it's like, well, can you show me how you do that? Or show me the way, that sort of thing. Right. So that's how the like introduction rapport gets built. There's a really good documentary called Chicken Hawk that Scott and I have referenced a lot, that is essentially men attracted to boys who agreed to be interviewed. And there's a whole scenario that gets filmed in the documentary where the guy just like inserts himself into this group of teenage boys who's playing, they're playing with a payphone. It's that old. They're playing with this payphone and getting it to like call back. And he's just like laughing and like, show me how you do that again, and trying to like be one of them. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm picturing in this sense. It would be so easy to run up, you know, upon some girls on the trail and just be like, hey, like, do you know what's across the other end of that bridge? Like, how do I? And then with this idea of good girl conditioning that we have, right? Mm-hmm. To be polite, to be helpful. It's an adult that's asking us something, that even though you're scared, if I just say and do the right thing, maybe it'll be fine. And then this whole ball could get rolling.
That's I'm so glad to have you on, someone who has not been a part of these conversations. But I didn't want to let out what I thought about what was going on here until I heard what you thought. But for those of you that a few days ago had been on my Facebook discussion, it's interesting, because my feeling was, after watching this 100 times and listening to it, was I feel like they had definitely had contact with Bridge Guy prior to this.
Yeah.
And I said almost exactly what you said, that I feel like the behaviors I'm seeing on the other side of the bridge there in those 43 seconds, to me, feel like something like that, right? There was a discussion somewhere else that was, hey guys, when we get to the other side of the bridge, can you come help me with this? Let me show you something down there. Can you do something like this? And I almost picture it being like, where it's like insistence, where like they don't want to go, but because of that like good girl type mentality, right? Conditioning that you're talking about, they've agreed to go. Because I do feel like I hear nervousness, apprehension, and hesitation in what they're doing, but it seems like there's already a plan. Is that kind of how you feel?
Yeah, and I want to be clear, like, you know, this sort of conditioning for kids and especially girls to be overly helpful doesn't just come from a family of origin, right? This is all about like community, other community ties, school, church, media, modeling from others. It is, you know, just sort of a thing where we put our safety second. So you have that aspect. I think the other thing that we can't also ignore is just the state of fight or flight that these girls are probably in. You know, when they realize like, this is probably unsafe, this is probably something that now he has put us in this position. And then what do you do with that, right? There's so many things going on with when fight or flight happens, and you realize that is, you know, potentially there's a dangerous situation just biologically. that I think we're seeing some of that. It is hard to tell. I don't want to hypothesize too much about, you know, kind of the, like, it sounds like a little bit of like shortness of breath or like rapid breathing happening, some sniffles, like that could be because it's cold and they just walked across a bridge.
Right.
You know, and that bridge is scary in and of itself. It's going to invoke fight or flight. But, you know, when your fear sensor in your brain, your amygdala gets triggered, there is a lot that starts happening with your sympathetic nervous system. And that's going to impair cognitive functioning, like problem solving and memory and decision making. It's also going to impact you verbally, where you might just start trailing off. Like you were talking about being in front of people and talking, and all of a sudden you're like trying to think of what you're going to say next. I think when she says, huh, or hi, you know, it feels like a stalling for time. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it sounds like, huh, and a little bit of that like stalling, because she, you know, perhaps again, like that cognitive functioning is slowing down. But I don't know. I think, you know, when she says like, see, this is the path, almost like they had kind of had a conversation already, right? Like, see, this is the path where we go down. I don't think she's telling Abby that, because if they had been there before, then they'd done it together. Like, it's almost like he has now approached and is in such close proximity that she can be like, see, this is the path we go down. But I think there's a lot going on.
Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah, I almost thought about it on this listen through. Like, what if there was... It seems to me that Libby is kind of like the leader of their little group, right? Between Abby and Libby. And from talking, I've talked to Kelsey quite a bit too, you know, that just kind of the personality that she seems to have. I could almost imagine, like, if there was a conversation about where to go and Libby was the one who took in the information, right? So like, then they get to the other side and now she's, you know, Abby runs past her and she's like, no, you can't go there. Almost like, remember where you have to go down here.
Yeah. Yeah. And Abby could be so, you know, in this state of fight or flight and fear that, you know, she just kind of runs past. Almost to me, it's like this self-preservation. Like, I'm off the bridge. I'm further away from him. He still has to go a little slow because he's on the bridge. Mm-hmm. And she's just going to blow right past Libby. But Libby has already stopped, obviously, to, you know, wait for her friend.
Do you get the feeling at all that when he says guys, that that's the first interaction that they had with him?
I don't hold it to just that sentence. I mean, it sounds, or that word, I think it sounds very casual. I think for all the other reasons I named, I believe they already had interaction before that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't mean based on that word, but like at that point, based on everything you've observed in the video, does it seem to you that, and it sounds like no. And I agree that was their, you know, when he said guys, that was like, oh, we just, now he's made contact with us. I felt like they had already had contact with him.
Yeah, I think so too.
So then now let's back up. And when they're coming across the bridge, he's maybe 30 feet behind Abby when Abby whispers. And like I said, a lot of people hear, and I think that's probably something to that extent. A lot of people are saying they hear her saying, "Is he behind me, or what do you want?" or something like that. Mm-hmm. But she's doing that loud whisper.
Yeah. And makes eye contact. Like she lifts her head up and makes eye contact with Libby.
Yeah. And I see when I zoomed in on her face, I kind of see that again. To me, it's that like nervous look where like, cause she's kind of smiling. But she looks like she's nervous about it. So what do you make of that? Like why she would, you know, the way I had written it was her doing a loud whisper tells me, obviously she's aware of him, regardless of what she's whispering. She's obviously aware of him. She wants Libby to hear what she's saying, but she doesn't want him to hear.
Correct.
What she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has her back to him. Libby does not, right? Libby can see what's going on. It's like she's trying to gain information like desperately from Libby, like what Libby's vantage point is now. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know what she's saying. I mean, it sounds like was he or something to that effect as well, but she's like, she doesn't want to turn around. You know, I think she even has her hands in her pockets.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
too.
Her sweatshirt, right? Which also you think like you're on this bridge, you might have your arms out for balance. And it feels like a very like place of security, like sort of way to have your hands, even though I'm not going to even hypothesize about body language because you know what BS I think all that is.
Right.
Analysis. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's like she's just trying to garner information. She doesn't want to turn around. And that whisper, that question is definitely for Libby.
Yeah. And I have it up for those that are not watching the video. I have the screen frozen of her. And yeah, her hands are in, she's wearing a zip up hoodie that's unzipped and her hands are in the pockets of the hoodie as she's walking, which, you know, it's kind of cold and there's a lot of different reasons for that.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a scary bridge. I've never walked it, but I've seen videos that it's a scary bridge to walk across. But also just where I happen to freeze it. Somebody in the chat earlier said, well, there was a Snapchat video or Snapchat picture that was released of Abby on the bridge that was taken by Libby and there's no one behind her. I want you to take note of this picture right here. Like for those of you that aren't watching this, bridge guy is 30 feet behind her right now and you would never know it. Like,
yeah, she's just covering him.
Yeah, she's covering him because she's so much closer. And, you know, I think that's, you know, similar. And if you move it forward just a little bit there, now you can see him in that frame, but you can't see him in any of these frames because she's covering him. She's in front of him. So I don't think that tells us a whole lot.
And, you know, just going back to kind of like engaging the girls in conversation or some sort of question ahead of time, you know, he could have even made it like he wasn't going to follow them across the bridge or like, can you just show me like about, you know, and then once he's behind them, what are you going to do?
Right.
Right. Run past him as you're up on this very, very tall bridge and the danger of that. So they're just like completely trapped.
Yeah. Once they're there, they're trapped. They seem nervous to me. And truthfully, I don't know, you know, I'll let you expand on anything else you want to talk about this. But what I don't want to do is get into the conversation of who's bridge guy, what all this stuff means. I just, you know, just. We have 43 seconds that we can analyze where we can actually see some behaviors. And that was really important to me. I know there's, you know, there was somebody in the chat that, you know, was talking about the ethics of even putting the video up and discussing it. I think, you know, that's what we do. And, you know, I can certainly appreciate people's perspective on that. But at the same time, you know, the reason for it is we're trying to get a better idea of what happened to them. And I'm not thrilled with the job the original investigators did. And this is the first piece of evidence that we have to go through. Like I said, it's heartbreaking. I cried the first time I watched it, just knowing that you watch this 43 seconds and what happens afterwards. But I think that those behaviors are important, like to hypothesize that they've had a conversation with this man probably beforehand. Is significant to me. It changes the behaviors because kind of what we've always been led to believe was, you know, they were across the bridge. This guy had him cornered. He whips out a gun and says, "Guys, down the hill!" Like he's ordering them down the hill. And I just don't hear it that way. But I don't want to drag this out for a whole lot longer than it needs to be. But I just want to give you the space. Anything else that any other thoughts you have about it or things that you think are relevant?
Yeah. No, I mean I appreciate the comment about. you know, releasing the video and the ethics of it. When the reason I asked you to send it to me is I had seen it a couple of days ago and I saw it and I like put it away, right? Like that. And I didn't even know if that was the full version. That's why I was like, oh, maybe there's a longer version of it. And in some sense, a piece of me was like, the family says they're at peace. Like this needs to go away.
Right.
And yet when, you know, you asked me to be on today and I reflected on my experience and how people are still preying on children in the same ways they've been doing it forever, I think it's a really important thing to remember. Another important public service announcement to say, like, hey, you can tell your kids it's okay to not be polite, to go the other way, to not, you know, respond to somebody. Because again, no adult, I won't even say just adult man, needs help from a child.
Right.
You just don't. So if that brings this to light and you can have those conversations with your kiddos, then, you know, I think that's a lesson here that we can take away from it. But yeah, I don't think there's anything further, you know, we get into way too much conjecture. If some better audio comes out or, you know, something else that compounds this that would be useful for some reason, then, you know, that would be worth discussing. But yeah, I don't know. I hope I added a little bit of context.
You did. Well, for today. For me, it's really important to have someone who is an expert in this field in forensic psychology that can weigh in on just the behaviors. Because like I said at the beginning, the frustrating thing for me is it's so hard to have these conversations because so many people are entrenched in their own camps. And even, you know, like within the truth and justice community, you know, there, you know, we generally work in wrongful convictions. So there's a lot of people that look at everything through that lens. But there's like a divide there, and everybody there just seems, it's easy to see the confirmation bias when you're in the position that I'm in, which is undecided. Without a strong opinion, it allows you to kind of step back and look. It's like, no, you hear that be a gun and you hear a gun racking because that's what you already believe happened. You see a 6'5" man on the bridge because you believe it wasn't Richard Allen. You know, so like people have those opinions. And I just don't think, this is what I'll say before I wrap this up. For the people that have strong feelings about these things, understand, like, you don't know. You don't know. Like somebody was just talking to me last night on Facebook. It was a pleasant conversation, but they were like, no, there's people, they say they can see a gun in his hand and they can tell that it looks, you know, his face looks like Richard Allen. I'm like, no, you can't. Like you, like you cannot do that because it's, as I explained it to it, you know, I have a lot of advanced photo editing software and stuff that I tried to do the best I could with it. And the thing is, you can't create pixels where they don't exist. It's too far away. You can't make it any clearer than it already is. And, you know, remember the FBI was involved with this. Like they have amazing technology. They couldn't make it any clearer as far as the things that are being said that people are so certain that they're hearing. Like you're not like it's fine to like have an opinion about it, but people are stating things as fact that just aren't. We can't know that. I think the best you could do is a lot of people are talking about the height of Bridge Guy, right? Mm. And the best you could do, someone who is an expert could do, I think, is possibly get an idea of the height if they knew how to really do photogrammetry, because the railroad trestles are the same length, and because of the, you know, the isometric view as it goes back, things get smaller as it, you know. So, you know, I even started messing with it, and then I just had a like, what the fuck are you doing, Bob?
What am I doing here?
Yeah, because well, yeah, I was like, well, if I there's one image where you can see them both standing there, and I thought, well, okay, I'm gonna measure the width of the trestle here.
Just don't.
And then the width of the trestle that he's standing on, and I'm going to take, because those should be the same, and I'm going to take the percentage of the difference, and then I'm going to measure, I know how tall she is, and then use that same percentage to calculate how tall he would be. And I got about 20 minutes into it, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, you know.
Especially, I mean, it's its own phenomenon that in today's day and age, it is seen as a form of weakness to just be in the middle and not have an opinion.
Yeah.
And people get so upset about it, you know, if you're not all in on one side or the other. And the world isn't black or white like that. So,
and certainly not in this case. Like the thing you have to realize, people that, at least I know there's folks that are just gonna, you know, assholes gonna be assholes. But for our people, the people that are in our Facebook groups and stuff, like just Just think about that. There is no reason to have a heated debate about these things, because everything that you're presenting is going to be an opinion about it. And, you know, my firm position, as firm as it gets, is I'm uncomfortable with the lack of evidence that convicted Richard Allen, but I can't say that I'm also convinced that Richard Allen is innocent. And that's as far as I can go with it.
Totally fine. Totally fine. Yeah.
And with that being said, I know you've got another meeting coming up, and I threw this at you, and I can't, Dr. Shiloh, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you jumping on and doing this on such short notice. If nothing else, I'll speak for myself, and you made me feel better about validating my own opinions of it, because like I said, when I looked at it, the big thing that I came away with that I thought was important, the only thing I could come up with is I'm really sure that they've had contact before this happened, and the fact that you even lean that direction with your background makes me feel at least that I'm not a lunatic.
Definitely not, and I'm glad I could be here just so you could have somebody else to talk to. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, and thank you all for joining us live on the chat this episode. For those of you that are here, this will be taken down from YouTube for now. But after the episode airs on Sunday, I'll put it back up so everybody can watch the video and stuff. So thanks everybody for supporting us. Like I said, it's my problems. It's all good stuff that I have happening this week, but it's an insane week for me. So I'm glad I was able to get this done. So thanks everybody. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weber. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. L-E-T-E-N-E-Z.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.